Good evening. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Normally, we have a 6 p.m. church service. We have replaced that this evening with a memorial service for our beloved sister, Esther McIntyre Blackmon. And it's just such an odd thing. It really is. It's such an odd thing. We are bound to this world. We are bound to what we know. All of this is so real to us. And every now and then, all those songs we sing about heaven, all those scriptures we read about heaven, all that gospel we proclaim to other people about heaven, we have to really truly believe it in our hearts. It's a challenge to us to, with our tears and our sorrow, to say goodbye to someone and at the same time allow God's Holy Spirit to comfort our hearts with the joy of knowing that those who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior are truly, as the Bible says, absent from the body and present with the Lord. And we are not remembering someone who is dead. We are remembering someone who has moved out of a body of flesh that could no longer live, and the soul inside that body is as alive today as it was a month ago when Esther sat here among us singing and visiting and enjoying God's people. And so we thank you. Dale's family and friends, co-workers are here. Lillian's family and friends are here, and we really appreciate you making the effort to come and be here today. During the days of her hospital stay, many of you sacrificed your time to come and see Esther and come and sit with Dale and with Lillian, and we so appreciate that. Then all the calls and visits and cards and things that you have sent since then have been such a big help. Dale's got all your cards on a table open there before him in the living room. They've been such an encouragement to his heart. So this is going to be a memorial service dedicated to our sister Esther, and we'll walk you through it, and you'll be allowed to participate in some of it and observe the most of it, but we really truly thank you for being here with us this evening. So let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would help us with our tears and balance them with our joys. Help us with our sorrow and balance that with our excitement in knowing that Esther's faith is now sight, and the Jesus she loves so long, she's now in his presence. We thank you for that. And Father, we pray that you'd be honored this evening to help us honor her. And we pray, God, that your blessing be upon our time together in Jesus' name and amen. Throughout the course of the evening, Richard is going to lead us in four of Esther's favorite hymns from the hymnal, and we'll stay seated as we sing those, a little different than we normally do, but we're going to lead off with her absolute number one favorite song, number 231, Jesus Saves. Praise the Lord for that. Richard, come ahead. You go ahead and...
Hymn 231, the third verse of this hymn, admonishes us to sing in triumph over the tomb.
Yes.
Very appropriate. 231, Jesus Saves.
Esther Mendes McIntyre Blackman was born in Recife, Brazil, July 30th, 1938. Her parents were drunkards. Down the road, was a little apostolic church. Mother would send them down the road on Sundays to learn about Jesus. And there Esther and her brother and her sisters at a very early age came to know the Savior who died for their sins, rose from the dead for their salvation. They would come home and invite mother, invite father to come. And in those days, small church buildings, no glass panes in the windows, and mother would come and stand outside, listen through the window. And the Holy Spirit reached out that window, grabbed a hold of her heart. Esther's mother was saved. The alcohol was gone, the tobacco was gone, the other vices were gone. And what a change that made in that little home down in Brazil. Her life, Esther's life, revolved around her church. She and her siblings loved the preaching, the fellowship, and most of all, the singing. So they used their fine voices and musical gifts to worship their Savior. Some old black and white photos of her brother with his guitar and the group of them around singing in church, really beautiful. After finishing her schooling, Esther worked as a hairdresser, where she perfected her God-given gift for engaging in conversation and taking interest in people and in their lives and in their families. She met and married W.C. McIntyre, an employee of Pan American Airlines, a man who, after his conversion, replaced his former nocturnal activities for staying in the work barracks and typing out a copy of the New Testament with two fingers on a manual typewriter. The attention this required hid much of these scriptures in his heart. And together they had two children, the lovely Lillian and the handsome Charlie. They spent their early years surrounded by Esther's large family and attending every church service. Esther and her husband relocated frequently due to work. McIntyre built airways throughout the Caribbean, airports and terminals, and did a great work there. But not long after he retired, Pan American Airlines went bankrupt. The pension fund was found to have been squandered. And in his mid-60s, he went back to work as a contractor building houses in the Titusville, Florida area. Through all the moving, through the financial reversals, through the formative years of her children's lives, Esther was the supportive wife, the devoted mother, and the faithful Christian. Through trials that would rock anybody's world, she never lost her joy. She never allowed anything to rob her of her appreciation, the appreciation she had for the Lord who saved her soul. When his finances began to recover, Mac and Esther moved from their tiny mobile home into a modest house. And there Esther was able to resume her true ministry, one which she loved so much, welcoming and entertaining guests in her home. And many of you have been part of that ministry. Whether it was couples from church, or the whole of Lillian and Charlie's youth group, or new neighbors, her table was always surrounded by people who felt like they were at home in her home. Esther was saved in an apostolic church, strong in faith and praise, but weak in doctrine. She embraced all that she was taught and put it into practice. Later, she and Mac found themselves in churches where God's word was more fully taught. She gladly cast off anything in her life shown to be an error. And with full contentment, she pressed on to higher ground. She was a founding member and a spiritual pillar in the early years of the Bible Baptist Church. She stood for years in downtown DeLand, participating in public ministry until her health would no longer allow it. She loved to read her Bible. She loved to practice the Word of God. Our parents, my parents, Charlie and Lillian's parents, they were raised in a former day when bringing up children was a very different endeavor. We didn't observe or receive displays of emotion. We didn't hear I love yous and you're the greatest, the like. What we had was certainty. We may not have known what was for supper, but we never wondered if we would be fed. We may not have known when it would be bedtime, but we always knew there would be a roof over our head. We may not have played a board game with father or been told how wonderful we were by mother, but we never had a moment's fear that our home would be broken or that our every need would not be supplied. We were blessed to have parents that viewed raising children as a job given them by God. And Esther never, ever failed to show up for work. She did her job. Praise the Lord. Some years after Mac went to heaven, the handsome and quietly charming Dale Blackman swept Esther off her feet. They were so happy together. Dale was happy to help Esther continue her come for supper and stay a while ministry. His agricultural skills were different from Mac's, where Lillian and Charlie's father had a grand garden right up until the time of his death. Dale helped Esther focus on growing beautiful flowers, vines of flowers and buckets of flowers and pots of flowers, what a time they had. Whereas Mac was content to travel to church, downtown preaching, Walmart, and that's pretty much it. Dale blessed Esther's heart with trips to parks and beaches and the mountains and the annual trips to Virginia to see Charlie and his family, and what a time they had. These were the second best thrills, only topped by the visits she and Lillian would make every few years to Brazil to make whirlwind visits to what seemed 100 relatives, all seen in a couple of very short weeks. I want to give you one story, and I hope I'm not out of line with this. Esther would not have told you this, but I want to give you an example of the type of character for which I so admired my mother-in-law. She was a beautiful woman. You'll see that in a moment. She was not vain, but like most young ladies, she loved her jewelry and earrings and things that sparkled and made her look even nicer than she would without them. Two boxes of such items were left behind when she passed away, but she didn't wear them. When her children were very young, one of them was very, very sick, and the doctor's prayers had not availed. Her child was in grave danger. Esther went to the Lord in prayer and told him if he would spare her child, she would never again wear the adornments a young woman so enjoyed. God granted her request, spared her child. The jewelry remained in its box till Esther went to be with Jesus. You say, what's so special about that? For many, many years, and on into the Sunday school class now, Charlie has ministered the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Esther's daughter grew up to marry someone that's ministered the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, you could do a lot worse in this world than to trade a necklace or some earrings for two children to devote themselves to proclaiming the good news of Jesus where they live and around the world. That's the woman that she was. For more than four decades, it was my honor to be pastor to Esther. She never caused either of her husbands one day of grief. There is one picture where Dale was standing in the wrong place as he was taking the photo, and he... but it was his fault. She never failed or disappointed her children. Not many people can say that. She never was one moment's trouble to her church or to its members. I know precious few people about which such things could be said. Through these years, we've seen many people come and go. Whenever someone would depart, maybe they just lost interest. Maybe they fell back into the ways of the world. Esther would say, with a mixture of sadness and disgust and confusion all rolled into one, in her mingled English and Portuguese, which was such a challenge to all of us, she would say, "James, I don't know why these people no stay. I love my Lord and my church. I no leave them for nothing." And from the time she was this high walking down the street to Sunday school until she closed her eyes to go be with Jesus, she never left the Lord or His church for nothing. Praise the Lord. According to the Bible, she believed. And because of the Savior she trusted, Esther is singing and rejoicing today in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was the wife every man would wish he had. She was the mother every child would want to have. She was the grandmother every grandchild could adore. She was the church member every pastor could wish he had 100 of. She was the friend that you could count on. She was the child the Lord would hope all His children would be. We'll miss her more than we can express. We're thankful that she was such an important part of our lives. Truly, truly thankful. Amen. Without ever speaking in front of a group of people. You cannot imagine how nervous he is, but he wants to do this. So you encourage him, you pray for him, and Steve's going to come to catch him if he falls. Steve used to do this for Benny Hinn back in the day. So come ahead, Dale.
Thank you all so much for coming this evening to honor and remember Esther. And thank you for the loving friendship you gave to Esther and the comforting love and sympathy you have shown to all of her family. I want to give a deep, heartfelt thank you to Lillian and James, Charlie and Lisa, and my sister Rita, for all the help and comfort and love. They each have been to me, especially over the past 3 weeks. Thank you so very much. Love you guys. I do thank the Lord for Esther and for giving me 21 years of marriage with her. Esther lived her life full of love and devotion to her family. Esther loved each one of her many friends. But above anyone else, Esther loved her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, most of all. And we all loved Esther truly and deeply. But not a one of us could have loved Esther so much as to die to save her from her sins, nor rise again from the dead to give Esther eternal life. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is why Jesus Christ was always first in Esther's life. For Jesus Christ is the only one who could die to save Esther from her sins and arise from the dead to give Esther eternal life and glory with the Lord. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It was Jesus Christ who saved Esther from her sins. And it is this same Jesus who can and will save you from your sins and give you life everlasting. Please don't say, I am not a sinner, that you have no sin. 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But good news, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Think about that. And then praise the Lord with hallelujahs. Esther believed the gospel of Christ, repented, and was washed in the precious cleansing blood of the Lamb of God. Please believe on the Lord Jesus. Ask him to save you, and he will. Esther had a love for God's written word, the Holy Bible, which she faithfully read every day. And one more thing about my wife, my friend, my love Esther. She was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. When Esther's health was better, she was on the street corner in downtown DeLand every Friday afternoon holding a gospel sign. And any time a delivery man or a repairman or salesman or lady came to the house, he or she was given a gospel tract. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation.
Dale also wanted this passage read from 1 Peter 1. We'll begin in verse 3 and read to the end of the chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if you need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied with the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto him whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And what a beautiful, beautiful thing that is when the gospel is preached unto us. And Dale has preached it unto us, hasn't he? And the reason it is preached unto us is because when we come to the end of our lives, as Esther has, it is the one and only thing that will matter. When the things that we have worked for and accumulated in our lives can no longer benefit us, when we are lying on our deathbeds, coming to the closing moments of our lives, when even perhaps our loved ones mean very little to us, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and knowing and trusting him will be the only thing that matters. And that's why Dale wanted to preach unto us. And that's why Esther spent all those years standing on a corner holding a sign with a gospel message. Because they knew and understood that in the end, that will be the only thing that matters. So yes, it's a very, very beautiful thing when the gospel is preached unto us. But it's even more of a beautiful thing when a person believes that gospel. When they realize, yes, that's what I need. And they turn to the Savior. And that's our hope and prayers for everyone here tonight. If they would believe the gospel. If they would turn to the Savior and trust him for their salvation.
Good job, Dale. Want to teach Sunday school next week? All right. Lillian is next. If every mother and daughter in the world could have the relationship these two had, the world would be a wonderful place. Surely would.
Thank you to all of you who have made the effort and taken time to be in attendance at this memorial service for my mom, Esther Mendez de Nascimento McIntyre Blackman. As most of you know, my mom was a gracious and kind woman. She was compassionate and thoughtful. Many of you have told me that she would go out of her way to say hello to you and ask about some family member. How are you doing? How is your daughter? How is so-and-so in your life? That's who she was. My mom and dad were believers who loved their Savior Jesus Christ and served him to the best of their ability. My mom read her Bible regularly and did not miss a church service unless she or one of her kids was sick. Every Friday afternoon was ministry at the street corner on Woodland and 44, handing out gospel tracts with my dad and afterwards going on her own. She was not ashamed of Jesus Christ. In my younger days growing up, one thing that I remember is that my mom was kind of a softie, and I honestly do not remember ever getting disciplined by my mom. It would always be something like, wait till your dad gets home. In Portuguese, of course. And when he got home, sure enough, the discipline would take place. And even though she did not actually discipline us herself, she never talked back to my dad about it, okay? She supported him as he disciplined us. So she was a supportive wife, a good mom, and she took good care of her children. Growing up, we always had lots of friends over to the house from the neighborhood, lots of playtime, but she was very cautious about where we went and who we hung out with. She loved her family very much, and she was so proud of all of us, and she wanted the best for us. She also loved her family in Brazil a whole lot, and she would often speak of them, asking me if I remembered this one or that one, and she would tell me stories about them. She had one brother and two sisters in Brazil. These siblings had a very special place in her heart, and she would make a phone call to Brazil what seemed like every week to check on them and find out how things were over there. And this was back when calling overseas was expensive. but it was worth it to her to get to hear their voice. Then there were the whirlwind trips that we would take to Brazil every so often. My dad worked for Pan American Airlines, so we got freebie trips, you know? So that was always neat. But when we got there, she wanted to see everyone. And it was a big family. So it was like we were in cabs, we were, you know, on buses, we were in taxis, we were in whoever had a car. They made it possible for us to go visit all the family and all the friends. And then, of course, there would always be the shopping day, big shopping day to buy souvenirs for everyone. It seemed like we were constantly on the move, going to places, to different homes. And I want to say thank you to my cousins in Brazil who might be watching live stream, who facilitated my mom's wishes. Thank you for taking time to make it happen. Visiting with her Brazilian family and friends brought her so much joy. When I turned 16 and got my driver's license, it was a happy day for my mom because now she has her very own personal driver to go shopping. You see, she didn't get her driver's license till way later in life. But having someone to take her shopping was awesome. She loved it. Almost every weekend would find us at the mall, browsing about from store to store, checking out the new styles and looking for deals. So yeah, shopping was something she loved to do a lot. And we always had a great time together. I enjoyed shopping with my mom right up until the last time that we went out together. Another thing my mother loved was just people in general. She loved being with people and talking about her family with people and learning about their families too. It could be someone she had never met before and she would be happy to share her life story with them. We would be at a doctor's office on one of her many visits, sitting in the waiting room, and she would strike up a conversation with another waiting patient. Next thing you know, she had pulled out her little photo album. And she was sharing photos with a total stranger. She never went anywhere without her pocket photo book. And if you ever had a chance to sit for a time with my mom, you know what I'm talking about. If you had a moment, she would be showing you pictures of her kids, her grandkids, and their kids, and even people from Brazil. My mom also loved to cook. And I remember as a teenager having Sunday dinners with a host of young folks from our church, me and Charlie. We had great times visiting with our friends over lunch, and after eating, all of us spent the afternoon singing and talking and reading the Bible while we waited until the evening service. I am thankful for those times, and my mom made that possible. And yes, James was one of those young folks. A few years after I got married to James and left home, my parents moved to DeLand to be closer to us and to the church. And I recall that almost every week, they invited a different church family over to dinner. The food was always delicious, and there would be good fellowship around the table. Then after the meal, Mother would locate her camera and take pictures of everyone in attendance. Yeah, taking pictures was another thing she really liked to do. Sadly, she was not a great picture taker. Often half of a head would be missing from the photo. Or, you know, you'd have everybody piled up at one end and there'd be this vast space of nothing. So it's like, okay, Ma, they're over here. But the pictures were taken, and I don't think anybody escaped picture time. Did I mention to you that she loved pictures? She had a lot of pictures, many, many pictures she'd taken of just almost everybody over the years, and time after time, she would look through those photos, remembering each person and sending up a prayer for them. There are pictures of people from Brazil or from her past that I don't remember ever meeting, but she would show me these pictures and she'd tell me about these people. I could tell she really cared a lot for all the folks that she had befriended over the years, and she cherished those memories through the pictures that she had either taken herself or had requested. You may have noticed in the slideshow presentation my mom's certificate of American citizenship. This was one of her greatest accomplishments. That's how she felt about it. She worked hard to get that. She worked hard to earn those papers. It took a lot of time and a lot of study, and she was very proud of that achievement. Way to go, Mom. And yes, she did get her driver's license, too. That was another huge deal for her because she didn't have to depend on other people to get her around. Going back to my mom's love for cooking, she believed in showing kindness through her tasty baked goods. Some of you may have received some of those delicious treats from her kitchen. That was her way of letting you know that she's thinking about you and she cares about you. Even our dear departed brother Sam Aceball was one of those recipients, and she would make sure that his was sugar-free because he's diabetic, you know. Back in the early days of our Bible conference, one of the highlights of the dessert table was Mother's amazing chocolate cake, which you saw a picture of. Also her Brazilian pavé, both of which had a tendency to disappear from the dessert table really fast. So she would always set aside a piece of some of the preachers whom she knew loved her desserts. And she would tell me, this is for Pastor So-and-so, and this is for Pastor So-and-so. You make us sure they get it. In later life, Mother would get her English mixed up with her Portuguese. This flustered her and confused those whom she was trying to communicate with. It was also a little humorous. When we visited Brazil and she was with her family, she would talk to them in English. I must have said 100 times, Ma, Português, fala em português, estamos no Brasil. Then when we were back in America, she would start talking to you in Portuguese, and I'm like, Ma, you're talking Portuguese. They don't understand Portuguese. And she would say, oh, shaw. This was a saying my dad would often say, which my mom picked up on and added to her English vocabulary. A very notable thing about my mother that really stood out to me is that she rarely spoke a bad word about anyone. It was pretty amazing. She did not allow offenses to linger for long. Any unkind deeds or hurtful words were like water off a duck's back. She did not let them change her or make her respond in kind. She moved on and determined to be godly in her attitude towards others. Now, that doesn't mean she wasn't hurt. It means she did not allow the hurt to have an effect on her behavior. Sometime after my dad passed away, my mother married Dale Blackman. They were married for 21 years. Dale, thank you. Thank you for loving my mom and taking such good care of her. And thank you, Rita, that's Dale's sister over here, for being such a good friend to my mom. You were a huge blessing to her. I guess the main thing I'm trying to express and convey to you about my mom is that she was a warm-hearted and caring person who loved people, and she loved her Savior. I wish I was more like her. I wish I had spent more time with her, and I miss her.
Take that blue hymnal and turn to 258. He hideth my soul. 258.
Thank you.
Let me say one more time on behalf of the family, thank you so much for being here this evening. And it's been a joy to hear about this godly lady and the life that she lived and the lives that she touched and her love for her Savior and for others. And there's been much that's been said, and everybody who's spoken done such an amazing job. And we're beginning to wind down the services, but I've been asked to come and just say a few words for a few moments and to speak very straightforwardly with you this evening. And there's some scriptures that I'd like to read. I'm going to begin in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, where the Bible says this: a good name is better than precious ointment. And then this phrase, in the day of death, than the day of one's birth. There's a very specific condition under which that statement is true. The day of death is better than the day of one's birth. That's true if, on the day of your death, you leave this world and enter into the glorious presence of the God who gave you life. And that's certainly true of Esther Blackman. The next verse says this: it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to heart. Not speaking critically of anyone's choices and decisions when I say this. It's up to each family in these times to make their own decisions and to do what's best for them and follow the wishes of their departed loved ones. But it's a shame that there are fewer and fewer and fewer of these types of memorial services. Because the Bible just said in the verse that we read that this is a very good practice. It's good for us to be confronted with the fact of our own mortality. It's good for us to be confronted with the fact that one day we too will leave this world. Friends and family members and loved ones will gather to remember us one day. To look at pictures, say nice things, to tell stories and to try to comfort one another. One day there'll be a memorial service for you. And that's not something we're inclined to think about, but it's something that we need to think about. It's good for us to be forced to consider. And so while I have you this evening, and while those thoughts are on your mind this evening, I need to tell you that according to God's Word, there are two types of people. There are those who are what the Bible calls saved, and there are those, the Bible says, they are lost. And here's what those terms mean. To be saved is to be rescued. It means to be delivered. And in this sense, we are talking about the salvation from sin, being rescued from its penalty, having God's forgiveness and the assurance of everlasting life. It means being ready to leave this world. That's what saved means. Esther Blackman was saved. You've heard it many times this evening. The alternative is, and I'm asking you to consider yourself, the alternative is that you are lost. And what lost means is that you have sinned against God, and that is an outstanding issue. You've not taken care of that.
You've not had those sins removed. You've not had those sins forgiven. Ultimately, it means that you are not ready to leave this world. And maybe you're a nice, lost person. Maybe you're a friendly, lost person. Maybe you're even a religious, lost person. And when you leave this world, family and friends will gather and they'll miss you and they'll say nice things and they'll tell great stories. But according to the Bible, if you have never been saved, if you have never been forgiven of your sins, then you are not ready to leave this world. And the reason that Esther Blackman was saved was not that she was a founding member of the Bible Baptist Church. The reason we speak of her as being saved, it's not because she was such a nice lady as we've heard so much about this evening. She didn't become saved by being a devoted wife or a godly mother or a wonderful grandmother, a hospitable friend. Esther Blackman was saved because as a young girl, she made a personal choice and decision to trust in the one who died for her sins, was buried and rose again. She read the Bible and was wise enough to believe what it said, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that's what she did. And that's the confidence that she had. And that's what gives us this wonderful hope this evening. And I have to ask you, if you were to pass from this world this week, and next week the memorial service is one for you, and someone had to stand up and try to comfort those gathered with the reasons why you could be assured, they could be assured that you were in a better place, what would they have to say? I can tell you that Esther Blackman is in heaven tonight because she trusted in Jesus Christ as her Savior. What are you trusting this evening? Who are you trusting this evening? Let me read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's an interesting atmosphere in a service like this one. There is sorrow and there is grief and there are tears, and we miss the one who has gone to heaven, but at the same time there's singing and there's gladness and there's joy and there's hope. And how can those things fit together? This passage explains, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." It's not that we don't sorrow, but our sorrow is different. It's a sorrow that is infused with the hope that Esther has been delivered from the body of this death and entered the glorious presence of God. It's a sorrow that is infused with the hope that this is not a goodbye forever. It's a so long for now. In verse 14, the Bible says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again." Do you believe that? Esther believed Jesus died for her sins, was buried and rose again. Do you believe this evening that Jesus died for your sins, was buried and rose again? That's the only condition on which anyone can be saved. "And if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's what gives us hope. That's what gives us comfort. That's what enables us to sing. That's what fills our hearts with joy, even as we mourn and as we grieve. It's what we have to look forward to. It's what Jesus Christ has made possible. It's the future that He has promised us. And Esther wanted you to have that. She wanted you, and Dale wanted you, and Lillian wanted you, and Charlie wanted you to come to this service in this church this evening and have an opportunity to hear this truth. God loves you. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for your sins. Jesus did that. He rose again. He is the resurrection and the life. And the Bible makes it so very clear and so very simple. If you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God will save your soul, forgive your sins, and give you the free gift of everlasting life. If in Esther's death she could lead you to a saving faith in Christ, she'd be so happy about that. And so would we. And so it's good for us to be forced to think about these things that we don't often think about. And I would challenge you this evening to give it some serious thought and consideration. And if you've never been saved, you need to be. And you can be. And we certainly hope that you will be. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. The promises that it makes, the truth that it reveals, the hope that it gives us. Thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we would all be lost and undone without Him. Thank you for the wonderful testimony of this wonderful lady. God, thank you for the life that she lived, the lives that she touched, the love that she showed. Thank you most of all for the Savior to whom she gave her life. And Lord, I pray that everyone here this evening would make the same decision that she made and the same preparation that she made and have the same assurance that she had. God, you would bless and comfort the family members today and in the days ahead. And we love you in Jesus' name. And amen. We're going to sing one more song. Richard's going to come and lead us in hymn number 518. After that, we'll have a closing prayer and some instructions for you. If you are helping serve the meal that's coming up, then you can dismiss yourself during this song. Richard, come. Number 518 in the blue hymnal. reception in the back immediately following the service, and everybody is invited and welcomed and encouraged to stay and enjoy some food and some fellowship, some time with the family. In just a moment, we will pray and bless the food. Once we do, we're going to dismiss the family first of all from these front rows, and if you'd like to visit with them, you can do so in the back. Once they've been dismissed, we'll begin at the back and move toward the front. And again, we hope that you'll stay and enjoy some time together. There's plenty of food, and so hope that you'll spend some time with us. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you, God, for being with us, never leaving us, never forsaking us. God, pray for Dale, pray for Lillian, Charlie, the family, and loved ones. Once again, that you would comfort them with the comfort that only you can give. And God, thank you for the hope that we have. Lord, I pray if there are any here this evening who've never been saved, that they would make that choice and decision this very day. And God, you'd now bless the food and the time that we spend together. And we love you in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen.